Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
Hi, this is Bob Engelhart. On Good Friday here at Catskill Mountain Christian Center, we really have a special night of events going on at 7:30 on Friday night, Good Friday evening. We're going to have a theatrical production of The Last Supper, full costumes and dialogue and this often overlooked aspect of Holy Week. We're just going to reenact it and really bring forward Jesus' commandments to his final sort of marching orders to his disciples to love one another under all circumstances. So after then a short intermission, we're going to show the movie The Passion of the Christ, a famous movie directed by Mel Gibson, starring Jim Caviezel as Jesus, and very, very well-known movie, but kind of just puts you in the mood on Good Friday evening to remember exactly the price that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for our sins. And then obviously Easter Sunday next week is going to be wonderful. Our Easter Sunday services are like the best. We just have a really good time celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great program for kids. Great program for kids get too much candy, and we love that, and teach them all about how Jesus was raised from the dead. And so we'd love to have you come and be a part. Just wanted to tell you about this message that we're going to share on Fire Radio this morning. I really don't like to neglect to cite resources that I've used, especially when I kind of heard a message, read a book, or heard a message that has really impacted me. And the message that I'm going to share this morning is largely mined from a message that was preached recently on TV by a minister named Jendison Franklin. And so I didn't want to go ahead and share the message and not give some credit where credit is due. It's a wonderful message about grace, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. So thank you so much. Again, Holy Week is coming. Give us a call at our office at any time. Look us up online, Catskill Mountain Christian Center, and come and be a part of the fun of Holy Week. Looking forward to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that means. So here we go. All right, the book of Zechariah, please. Old Testament book of Zechariah. It has to do with after the dispersion of the Jews, or the wrecking of Jerusalem and the restoration of Jerusalem, when the Jews came back into Jerusalem in Zechariah's time, tasked by the Lord of rebuilding the temple. And after sort of half quasi-successfully laying the foundation, the whole project bogged down for about 16 years. You ever have something that you're called by God to do, or you feel like you're called by God to do, and it gets bogged down, and you don't even know if God's around anymore?
he's alive, if he checked out, he said, forget it, I'll try another planet. These guys are completely ridiculous. So Zechariah chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 6 through 10, please. It says, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. This is the prophet speaking, Zechariah the prophet speaking to Zerubbabel, who's the one who's tasked with doing this job. First of all, he says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Isn't that great? Yeah. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, for who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. What a great, crazy, mixed up Old Testament scripture filled with imagery. And what is he talking about? And we're not going to talk about all of it, but we'll get to some of it. So verse 7 says, you will bring it forth with shouts of grace, grace. The word grace is used in the Bible 124 times. 16 out of the 21 epistles in the New Testament begin with the words, grace be unto you. Grace is an important subject in the Bible. 16 out of 21 epistles begin with the phrase, grace be unto you. The book of Ephesians talks about the riches of his grace and the glory of his grace. The Bible speaks, I'm going to read this very quickly. The Bible speaks of four kinds of grace. Ephesians 3 speaks of saving grace. It says, by grace you are saved, not by works. You don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. You hear me? You don't get make yourself good. You don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. It's this grace that saves you, and you're not earning it and deserving it. You've been given it as a gift. The second is justifying grace. By grace we are justified, therefore we have peace with God, the Bible says. Justified, they use this little word trick for justified. When you're justified, when you receive justifying grace, it's just as if I'd never sinned. You're justified with God. That's what it means. It's just as if I've never sinned. It's just, I've become before God just as if I've never sinned. That's grace. Just as if I've never sinned. Just as if I've never sinned before God. I'm justified. We have a justifying grace. We have a saving grace and we have a justifying grace. Isn't that good? I'm glad for justifying grace. God wants to say, listen, I'm looking at you as if you've never sinned, just as if I've never sinned, and you keep telling me about it. What do you want from me? You know? What do you want? You owed me you owed me $1 million. I said, forget about it. I cancel your debt. It's just as if you've never owed it to me in the first place, just as if I've never sinned. The Bible says when you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive your sin. So when you do sin, you confess that sin, and then you change your actions, God completely covers you and justifies you. His grace saves you, and then it justifies you in the eyes of God. Just as if I've never sinned, that gives me a heart and a desire to not sin like that anymore. Because all of a sudden, I'm on the good guy's team. I was on the bad guy's team, and now I'm on the good guy's team. Like, it's an awesome thing. If what you have, what the thing that you consider to be your relationship with Christ doesn't make you want to be more like Jesus, then you do. You have religion, you do not have Jesus. That's a nice thing to say. But if what you have doesn't make you want to be more like Jesus, you have religion, you don't have Jesus, you've been deceived. Because the real thing makes you want to be more like Jesus. Justification, yes. Justifying grace makes you want to be more like Jesus. That means you work at it. You work at throwing stuff away. You work at getting rid of stuff. You get work on changing your behaviors. It'll take a while. It took me a little while. It's taking me a little while. It's going to take me a little while yet. Yeah? He will change you. His grace will change you. It's not you who have the power to change yourself. You're stuck. We just sang a song about, you know, that this is how I fight my battles. Why? What? Praising and worshiping him. Because only that can make your chains of bondage in sin to fall off. Yeah? This is not a willpower thing. This is a change of focus. If anyone is born again, he's a new creature in Christ. That's what the Bible says. Grace teaches us to abstain from ungodliness and to honor God with our lives. Are we good? Paul said, 3 times I prayed for a thorn to be removed from my flesh, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul took his issue to the throne of grace, but God did not remove the issue. He just didn't take it away, but he gave Paul the grace to handle it, to overcome it, to defeat it. This is enabling grace. This is the grace that enables you to fulfill the vision God has given you. Enabling grace. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Sometimes we like, somebody said that we're microwave loving Christians who serve a crockpot God. We like to have our miracles done in the microwave. God likes to slow cook us. Yeah? Sometimes God will allow a grace to come on you to enable you to overcome the obstacles before you. That's why Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. It says, so that we can obtain help in time of trouble. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Because we need help. Okay? Even though you have real issues and problems and challenges, there is something called the enabling grace of God that empowers you to overcome, to defeat mountains and adversities. Remember we just read Zerubbabel, that thing, that mountain that's come up before you that stopped you for 16 years to make any progress. I'm going to make it like a plane. Level it like a plane. The city had been leveled. He said, I'm going to rebuild the temple walls in our lives. He began with the temple, not his own house. Very important that he didn't start with the walls of the city. He didn't start with his own house. Let me make myself a nice house, and maybe then I'll give a couple of bucks to the church, maybe. Generous, whoosh, my $5. A little joke there. A little pastor joke, just helping myself out through this. Okay, he began by laying the foundation for the house of God. He started the miracle. He had the grace of God to do it, and he laid the foundation. Instantly, the Bible says that a mountain came up before him spiritually. And he says, who is this mountain? Who are you? And he started talking to the mountain. And in Mark 11:23-24, we're supposed to speak to the mountain. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. The mountains of obstacles come before us. We are crazy Christians. We believe that our words mean something. We speak to mountains. Jesus instructed us to speak to mountains. Speak to them. Wherever you are today, whatever mountain you're up against, whatever you've tried before and failed in your heart, you've done it 16 years, you've done it 27 years, or you've done it 61 years, you've thrown in the towel in your heart. God doesn't start something in you unless he's got the grace to finish it. God started it, God's going to finish it. And stop believing otherwise because you're giving up on him. God started it, God's going to finish it. God started it, God's going to finish it. What do you got to, what's your job? Say grace, grace to the mountain. He doesn't just give you justifying, teaching grace, but he's also giving you the enabling grace. When God is through with that mountain, it will be a smooth plane. In the Bible, Zerubbabel's project had been shut down, faded away for 16 years. And this story shows us that God never starts something that he does not have the power to finish. The question is, can he find somebody to hang in there long enough to hold on until God makes a way where there is no way? We quit too soon. We give up too soon. We walk away from the miracles before God can do what he wants to do. Sometimes you have to sit or stand or and stand the rigor of being small and feeling little. The Bible says, we just read, don't despise the day of small beginnings. And sometimes that's a long time you sit in this place of humility, this place of feeling small, this place of feeling humble. Sometimes you sit and stand still in the rigor of being small, feeling little, like nothing is happening. I'm going to be faithful in the little, and I will not despise the day of small things. And if you hold on to what God started through the times when the obstacles come, there will be a time when God says, it's time now. It's time now to fulfill what I've told you I'm going to do. And sometimes we hold on looking at a frustrating mountain and God started it. But the prophet says, during these frustrating times, begin again. This is, we just read that in the scripture. The prophet told Zerubbabel, begin again. Your dream that's gone away, your frustration, your disappointment, the thing that you haven't been able to accomplish, begin again. God says, begin again. God says, begin again. Grab your heart. Find your heart again. Begin again. Believing and trusting for the fulfillment of your vision. Yes. Begin again. Yes. He says, I know you tried before, but begin again. Believe again. Try again. Dream again. Hope again. Pray again. Praise me again. Renew your expectation. Reach again. It's time to begin again. God is going to finish what he started. Yes. Go get the headstone. Why did he tell him to get the headstone? If we read the scripture, you read it on your own. Why did you get the headstone? The headstone is the last piece of building material put on a building when it's complete, when they have the big party and they put the headstone on. We're not talking about grave headstones here. We're talking about the headstone of the building. The building is all done and we're going to have a big party. We're going to get everybody in the town celebrating the headstone, the completion of the building. Now, he's just laid the foundation, and he's been stuck for 16 years. God said, get the headstone. My dear brothers and sisters, his name is Jesus. The headstone. Get the headstone. Get the headstone. See your project done. Know that what God started in you the day he saved you, he's going to complete it. And you're going to be awesome. The final stone, final building material, celebrates the finish of the project while it lays in rubble. The project is in rubble. He says, go get the finished stone, the final stone. That's so, God is cool. The headstone represents Jesus Christ, the stones that the builders have rejected. He is the stone that cried on the cross, it is finished. Building project is finished. You focus on the stone. If God started it, he's going to finish it. The headstone represents the completed job. Many have experienced God starting something and a mountain came and nothing is happening. And what do? You got to focus on Jesus, the headstone. Begin shouting, grace, grace to it. Enabling grace will come off of that stone into you, enabling you to finish your project. Pick up the headstone. You're discouraged, you're no money, you don't have enough money, you don't have opportunities, people are leaving, their sickness is progressing in your body or your friend's body, your relationships are deteriorating, your marriage is stressed, you're feeling embarrassed, you whisper a little prayer, grace, God, please give me grace. And so the prophet, basically said, I tell you to whisper a prayer. I didn't tell you to whisper grace. He said, I didn't say whisper. I said shout. Grace! Then the prophet said, I didn't tell you to shout grace. I told you to shout grace, grace. I didn't tell you just, God, please give me grace. I don't even know where Christians get prayers like that. Because it's not from the Bible. Uh-oh. Oh, thou hast goddest in the heavens. Thou hast made everything and loveth everything. And how about God? My life is falling apart. But I'm going to look to the cross. I'm going to look to the finished stone, the headstone, and I'm going to cry, grace, grace. So his grace can come to me to empower me to finish my mission. You know, Jesus prayed for a guy who was blind. He says to the guy, what do you see? He says, I see trees as men walking. Jesus prays for him again. He says, what do you see? He says, I see everything perfectly clear. Grace, grace! Two graces! I prayed. I did that already. You know how many times I've heard that before? I should have a sign behind my desk. Don't say I did that already. I'm only kidding. It's only joking. All of a sudden, when he started shouting grace, one translation says the people started running over the top of themselves to give to the vision that God was finishing. One with building material, one with financing, one with masonry, one who knew how to do masonry work, one who was the glass guy, the glazier came probably, and people are coming from somewhere, the north, south, east, and the west, running over each other because he shouted, grace, grace! God released grace, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. God's people were moved and they began to sow and give. We got to finish this project. We love our neighbors. They got to know it. Bible says a multitude of people is the honor of a king. What do we want this place filled with 42 times every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Why? So we can have a big name? No! So Jesus can be glorified in this town, in this community. And I was sent here to do that. It's my job. That's my job. 27 years. And I got to go back, and I got to go to the headstone. And I got to cry out, grace, grace! Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I want grace. That's God's power. The Greek word is charis. It's God's power. It's where we get charismatic from. So it's by his enabling grace I will do everything he has given me the vision to do. The hand of Zerubbabel laid the foundation. The hand of Zerubbabel finished it. Please, we do not despise the day of small beginnings. You think you got to bling, you got to have the big car, and you got to have the big house, and you got to have the big job, and everybody's got to think you're the big man. Remember Raymond J. Johnson? Now, you guys are all young. You don't remember this, but a couple of us do. He was on this show, and he was this little guy, and he had a big cigar and a big fedora hat on, and there was a big mustache, and it was like, you can call me Ray, or you can call me Jay, or you can call me Jimmy, or you can call me Johnny, but you doesn't have to call me Mr. Johnson. We all want to be Raymond J. Johnson, the big man. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. You got a broom in your hand, you sweep with all your heart. You sweep with all your heart. It was in, when we were young, we were, you know, poor, I guess you call it. Sort of poor. I worked a job. I was working in a career, had a career path going, but But at night, I would go and was a janitor and worked at one of the places I worked at was a Howard Johnson's, who had a 24-hour diner-type restaurant. And so I used to go 2 o'clock in the morning or something just to get up. I had a full-time job. I worked. I was a supervisor of a printing plant during the day. And I used to get up and do these cleaning jobs at night. And not for nothing, but, you know, your job is scrubbing toilets. You do it well. You do it well. You do it well. You don't despise the day of small beginnings. You clean mirrors, you do it well. You mop floors, you do it well. Don't despise the day of small beginnings, because you're learning how to be a minister and a servant of the Most High God, no matter what you're doing. You take trash out, you take that trash out well. You mow the lawn, you mow your lawn well. I get a few guys mad all the time when I tell them, I look at your lawn, I don't see your lawn, I see you. I don't see your wife, I don't see your children. I look at your lawn, I see you, because that's your job, that's your house, that represents you, that's your little bit of jungle in the world that you gotta keep tame. Tame it. Are you with me? Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Oh, but I wanted to tell you, it was my rub with fame. So you don't think a janitor has a rub with fame. I mopped around Harry Chapin's table while he was eating a 2 a.m. breakfast. But I didn't know it until he signed his credit card thing afterwards, back before they had machines and all. And the waitress ran over and said, "That guy driving away was Harry Chapin," because he signed it. So I was hanging around with greatness long before I got this gig. Let us not despise the day of small beginnings. And let us know to speak to the stone, speak to the rock, speak to the Lord Jesus, and cry out grace, grace, so that he can make your mountains into level plains, so that you can accomplish everything that he's called you to accomplish. Amen? He'll give you the power to overcome your sin, that you come in every week filled with guilt. You love church, you love Jesus, and you half hate us because you're filled with guilt. It's not my fault you're filled with guilt. Grace, grace. Some of those sins, they are. That's what Pastor Alicia said. They're like being chained to a wall. You're shackled to a wall. You can't get free. I want to be a Christian. I love the Lord. But I have a secret. I'm an addict. I'm an alcoholic. Together, grace, grace on three, okay? And I want you to be thinking about the man who hung on that cross right there, yeah? Not exactly that cross right there, but one, I think, like it, probably. Grace, grace on three. One, two, three. Grace, grace! We speak it to the mountain. We speak it to the headstone. Seraphim. No, it's Charles. Charles, grace, grace, my grandson. Cover Charles's ears because we're going to do it again. On three. One, two, three. Grace, grace! And God releases the power for you to complete your mission. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.
Hello. This is Jake Johnson. Thank you for listening to OFR today. If you would like to financially help On Fire Radio, you can give online at cmcconline.org. If you would like to learn more about Catskill Mountain Christian Center, you can check us out online at our website or visit our Facebook page. You can find our Facebook page by searching Catskill Mountain Christian Center in the top blue bar. Make sure you like us and check the page for updates. We would love to have you visit us for Sunday morning worship service at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. This is Jake Johnson, and on behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, I want to thank you for listening to this edition of OFR. God bless, and we'll see you in church.